Yo, what's happening, everybody? My name is Anthony Correnti, and thank you, as always, for checking out another episode of the Dynasty Drive. I appreciate all of the continued support, as always. Back with another episode talking about some of the 2023 NFL draft prospects and how I've got them stacked for fantasy purposes right now. So if you're new to listening to the podcast, I appreciate you checking us out. You can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive. And while you're at it, head on over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard, where you can gain access to a ton of great stuff to help you all throughout rookie season. We're right in the thick of it. It's rolling right along. Rookie drafts will be happening before, right after the NFL draft wraps up. So get on top of all the info there. You can get Matt Hicks's full rookie big board, our consensus dynasty rankings. That's myself, Ryan Searfoss, Eric Adams. You can get Devi rankings. You can get access to an incredibly active Discord server with not only all of us in there, but a ton of other very, very smart people as well, just giving their own insight, asking their own questions, and kind of crowdsourcing some information that way. So patreon.com/rookiebigboard for as cheap as $3 a month. You definitely don't want to miss out on that. And without further ado, let's get into how I currently have the top 10 wide receivers for the 2023 draft class stacked up. And before we get into the specific players, let me just start this by saying, I know that there's been some recent talk or buzz about how, you know, people propped up 2023 as the savior rookie draft for so long, and now people are looking at it like, this draft class isn't any good, wide receiver's not any good. Couple different things, right? We've been spoiled for a couple years of how good some of these rookie draft classes were, and now it's become commonplace to say, well, the class lacks a true star like Ja'Marr Chase. Well, most classes lack a Ja'Marr Chase, right? Like, that shouldn't be a regular thing. And with that being said, I mean, a lot of people even said that last year, oh, this class lacks a Ja'Marr Chase. And not to say that anybody from last season, meaning 2022 in the NFL draft, had a Ja'Marr Chase rookie season, you know, 1,400 yards or whatever. But we saw Garrett Wilson show out. We saw Chris Olave show out. We saw lots of promising things from a lot of the other young wide receivers in that draft class. So while maybe, you know, nobody separated themselves in 2023 as somebody quite on that level, this is still a good wide receiver group with talented players that will be available not only in round one, but through round two. I really think the depth in round two and even into round three is really going to be intriguing in this draft class. So don't write it off all the way. This is a thing that we tend to do in dynasty circles specifically, where we, you know, look at a draft class a year or two down the road, and we do this a lot with quarterback too, right? Oh, well, you know, a quarterback last year wasn't it, right? A lot of the talk was, we saw the swell for like Malik Willis and some Kenny Pickett people coming into the season, but it was like, don't worry about quarterback. Quarterback in 2023 will be really good. And now, you know, everybody's, for the most part, I think, is fairly high on Bryce Young. Some people have had some questions with CJ Stroud. I'm a fan of CJ Stroud. But now it's like, well, if you don't need one, just wait till 2024, right? Caleb Williams and Drake May. And we're kind of just always looking ahead. It's easy to get bored of these prospects that we talk about for a long time. So I'd just like to reinforce, like, don't let that be the case with some of these 2023 wide receivers. There's good players in this class. There's good value to be had. Don't overreact. And, you know, I don't know, this recent swell of 2023 wasn't always what it was cracked up to be. It's still a very good rookie class that's going to see a lot of fantasy contributors across multiple positions. So without further ado, my top 10 wide receivers. Number one for me is still, and in all likelihood will continue to be, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the Ohio State wide receiver, 6'1", 200 pounds, junior receiver, a former five-star recruit, and the number five wide receiver in his recruiting class. We know most of the story with JSN. He exploded onto the scene in 2021 as a sophomore, alongside some of those Buckeyes we mentioned earlier, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, right? Stud wide receivers, both drafted in the top 11 picks in the 2022 draft. And Garrett Wilson, current reigning offensive rookie of the year, has called Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I think, you know, maybe the best athlete he's ever seen, or the most natural athlete he's ever seen, when asked about him back when he was in college. People will have concerns over an alleged lack of athleticism and the fact that he did most of his damage from the slot in 2021. Look, I don't think doing his damage from the slot is a real argument anymore in 2023, as smart NFL teams regularly move their premier wide receivers into the slot to exploit matchups. I don't think Jaxon Smith-Njigba played from the slot because he can only play from the slot. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he was on the field with a couple of other stud perimeter wide receivers. And then, you know, 2022 didn't go his way. He gets hurt, deals with a nagging injury, only appears in three games. Marvin Harrison Jr. balls out, and it becomes easy to sort of let him start to slip through the cracks, I guess, a little bit. But don't overthink it, man. JSM possesses a blend of both upside and floor that shouldn't be overlooked or underestimated in this 2023 class. He's pretty easily the wide receiver one for me, and I really don't think there's anything that can change that. Number two in this class for me right now is Jordan Addison from USC, formerly from Pitt, 6 foot, 175 pounds, junior wide receiver, former four-star recruit, the number 10 ranked athlete in his recruiting class. Jordan Addison exploded onto the scene, right? He had made some noise as a freshman at Pitt, had 60 catches for 666 yards and four touchdowns, but exploded in that 2021 season where Kenny Pickett went nuts. Jordan Addison had 100 catches for almost 1,600 yards and 17 touchdowns. Just explosive stuff. He transfers out of Pitt to USC when Lincoln Riley gets there and put up 59 catches for 875 yards and 8 touchdowns in just 11 games in 2022. He is another wide receiver that did a lot of his damage from the slot, right? We saw him moved around a little bit more in 2022, but that 2021 season at Pitt was almost exclusively from the slot. Jordan Addison is a fun guy to watch, though. He's got that kind of slender, slight, almost Devontae Smith-like build. I'm not super worried about that. Some people will be, I think, disappointed in the weight, the people that really highly value BMI and stuff like that. It didn't bother me a ton with Devontae Smith. It's not going to bother me a ton with Jordan Addison. I think the NFL, it's easier for guys that are built like that to succeed than it has been in the past. Due to the game being focused on passing attacks, thriving, and it being harder and harder to play defensive back in the NFL. But, landing spot will be interesting, but the polish that he has, the explosive ability that he has, kind of keeps him a cut above the rest of this class for me. So right now he's my wide receiver two. Wide receiver three and four, gosh, I feel like I flipped these guys 100 times in the last couple weeks. So I've changed it again. And I just want to say for both of them, combine testing will be important, I guess, but I think they'll both test well. But draft capital and landing spot is really going to dictate these next couple guys for me. Number three right now, I have Quentin Johnston from TCU, 6'4", 215 pounds, junior wideout for the Horned Frogs, former four-star recruit, was the number 14 wide receiver in his recruiting class. I feel like we're at the point where there's almost not a lot to be said about Quentin Johnston anymore. He's going to run well. And for a guy his size, I won't be shocked if he runs low 4.4s. And when that happens, he's going to go top half of the first round. And the price associated with drafting him in rookie drafts will probably get prohibitive at some point. And it's not that I dislike the player. I've liked the player. I've said since last summer, he was somebody I was really excited about after, seeing him flash a bit as a freshman and a sophomore. I mean, he averaged over 22 yards per catch as a freshman in 2020. He averaged almost 20 yards per catch in 2021, but the big production wasn't there. It was 22 catches. It was 33 catches. So 2022, we get 60 receptions for 1,069 yards and six touchdowns, but the consistency still isn't quite there. It'll be a kind of quintessential, I think, boom-bust pick for both the team that selects him and taking him in rookie drafts. And I think he could be a player that eventually enjoys, better NFL success than he does for us for fantasy purposes. I just don't know that he'll ever be that consistent fantasy producer that you'd like to see. The size is intriguing. The athleticism is intriguing. But you'd like to see him be a little stronger at the catch point. I think you're more physical with that size. And definitely more consistency with his hands. So right now, still my wide receiver three, but questions remain. And I won't be shocked at all. I've kind of toyed back and forth with flipping him with the guy I have at number four right now, who's Jalin Hyatt. Jalin Hyatt, 6 foot, 185 pounds, junior wide receiver from the University of Tennessee. former four-star recruit and the number 33 ranked wide receiver in his recruiting class. Jalin Hyatt absolutely exploded this year for the Tennessee Vols with Hendon Hooker at the helm. After, you know, never topping 276 yards in his first two seasons, he goes off for 67 catches, 1,267 yards, and 15 touchdowns. I think Jalin Hyatt, to me, is a pretty easily a round one pick in the NFL draft. Speed kills. The NFL craves it. The NFL covets it. It shouldn't shock anybody when he runs well and then conversely gets drafted in the first round. Following that testing, teams are constantly looking for players like him that can absolutely rip the top off a defense. And, you know, landing spot, like I said, for Quentin Johnston will be important for Jalin Hyatt. The one I'm beating the drum for now, what I would love to see happen is Jalin Hyatt end up with the Chargers, with Justin Herbert throwing him the ball, some other receivers there, Kellen Moore calling the plays. I think that would be really fun. And if that happens, he's going to be somebody that's really easy to get excited about with a young, promising quarterback that we know can push the ball downfield for him. Number five for me, and these get bunched together. Five and six are really pretty close for me right now. Number five is Josh Downs. Josh Downs from University of North Carolina, 5'10", 175 pounds, junior wide receiver, former four-star recruit, number 17 ranked wide receiver in his recruiting class. Somebody that we got, you know, the hype's been there for a little bit. Didn't do a whole ton as a freshman back in 2020, but over 1,300 yards in 2021. Again, has 94 catches for 1,029 in 2022 to go with double-digit scores for the first time in his collegiate career. Josh Downs is somebody that, to me, it's easy to kind of draw some parallels to current Jets wide receiver, former Ole Miss receiver Elijah Moore. And I think he'll probably get valued similarly by both the NFL and kind of in rookie drafts too. I think I'd be, I wouldn't be shocked if he's an early day two pick in the NFL draft. And I think he'll pretty regularly go in round two of rookie drafts, but I really like that value. He's another guy that people, you know, he wins from the slot. And you'll notice that with a lot of this draft class, it lacks some of the big targets outside of Quentin Johnston at the top, but a lot of these guys are smaller guys that have been playing out of the slot, but that's the way the game has kind of shifted. We see a lot more of it, and I've mentioned on the podcast before that teams have told us time and time again that they value those players more than they used to. Teams don't have a problem investing premier draft capital in smaller players like Kadarius Toney, or smaller players like Wandale Robinson, or smaller players like Elijah Moore. These guys have all been invested in pretty premiumly by their or in a pretty premium way by the teams that have selected them. And I would expect the same for Josh Downs. He's an explosive player who can really make defenders' lives miserable out of the slot. He's really got juice to win downfield, and I really expect him to go early on day two. And I'm going to smash the draft button as much as I can early round two in rookie drafts. I think he's a really terrific value there. Number six for me is Zay Flowers. Really one of my favorites in this class. I'm a big Zay Flowers fan. 5'10", 172 pounds. He's a senior from Boston College, former three-star recruit, was the number 139 ranked wide receiver in his recruiting class. He's been putting up some production for a couple years at Boston College. As a sophomore, we saw him get almost 900 yards and 9 touchdowns in 11 games last year. In 12 games, you know, 746 yards, 5 touchdowns. He finally gets over 1,000 this year in 2022. 78 catches, 1,077, double-digit scores, 12 touchdowns. And he's a guy that I think teams can get creative with, using a variety of ways. Back as a freshman at Boston College, he had 27 rushing attempts. I think you can mix it up with him a little bit that way. Not trying to paint the picture that he's, you know, Deebo Samuel or anything like that, but I think you can keep him involved in a variety of ways. End-arounds, jet sweeps, keep him involved close to the line of scrimmage, kind of create him space or create him touches in space, manufactured sort of touches. He's got really nice body control. He can really make some stuff happen after the catch too. Solid hands. Zay Flowers is somebody that I think is rising for a lot of people and somebody I'm excited to see in the pros. Number seven for me is Cedric Tillman, the other Tennessee wide receiver. So Cedric Tillman has some of that size that some of this draft class lack. Cedric Tillman listed at 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a redshirt senior, another former three-star recruit, and was the number 246 ranked wide receiver in his recruiting class. So the Cedric Tillman box score is a little weird, you know. Freshman season, sophomore season, early in his career, we don't see a whole lot of him. Appears in one game, appears in three games, appears in two games. in 2021. Finally got to see him in 12 games, and he had 64 catches for 1,081 and 12 touchdowns. This year, again, only six games that we saw him in, 37 catches for 417 yards and three touchdowns. He shows some nice stuff playing on the boundary, and he's got the size that teams are going to like a lot. But it will be really interesting to me to see if he can sneak into day two or if he ends up being a day three pick. I kind of teeter back and forth right now. But if he does manage to get that day two draft capital, it's going to be really, really intriguing for his fantasy stock and fantasy upside to see if a team values him that way. So based on the fact that there's not a lot of other players that have that similar kind of size profile, red zone kind of weapon, I think he could sneak into day two because we know teams will be craving a type, and there will be some teams that need to add that kind of, you know, power forward body type or a big body X receiver to their wide receiver room. Number eight for me is one of my favorites in this entire draft class, Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims listed at 5'11", 177 pounds, junior wide receiver from Oklahoma, former four-star recruit, the number 29 wide receiver in his recruiting class. Marvin Mims can get vertical. He can win deep. In 3 years at Oklahoma, he's averaged 19.5 yards per catch. That's 16.5 as a freshman, 22 yards per catch as a sophomore, and 20.1 as a junior for the Sooners. He's a really fun player. I think athletic testing is going to be interesting because I don't know if he'll, in a weird way, run as fast as that, you know, big yards per catch average would suggest. But he can get deep. He's a real fun player to watch and honestly plays bigger than that size at 5'11", 177 pounds. He doesn't shy away from a lot, and I think is somebody that really plays bigger than both that height and weight, and I think would be a nice complement to nearly any wide receiver room in the NFL. He's been productive for, you know, 3 years for Oklahoma. Over 600 yards as a freshman, over 700 yards as a sophomore, and then, you know, almost hits 1,100 as a junior. And that's, you know, despite Lincoln Riley leaving, the quarterback change, all that stuff. So Marvin Mims is somebody that, again, kind of this whole kind of bottom tier for the most part, and not necessarily bottom tier, but, you know, Zay Flowers, Cedric Tillman, Josh Downs, all these guys, Marvin Mims. It's really going to be interesting to see where they go, how early they get drafted by the NFL, and what landing spots they end up with, because it could shake up a lot of the back half of these rankings for me. Number nine is somebody that I think the NFL could love, and it's Parker Washington, the Penn State wide receiver, 5'10", 212 pounds, junior receiver from the Nittany Lions, former four-star recruit, the number 45 wide receiver in his recruiting class. Parker Washington is like this little, he's not little. I hate to say little. That's a slight to him, but he's built like a running back. He's a wide receiver in a running back's body, and he kind of rumbles around like it. He's got strong hands. He's tough. He can get dirty yards. He can do a little bit after the catch for you. No real big eye-popping statistical year at Penn State. 36 catches for 489 as a freshman, 64 catches for 820 as a sophomore, 46 for 611 and 2 this past year in 2022. But somebody that I think with his toughness and what he can do in terms of being able to move the chains regularly for a team, I think will endear him to an NFL team kind of, and really lumps him in with guys like Mims and Tillman and Zay Flowers. That four could really shake up almost any way. I value them all pretty closely before we know landing spots or draft capital or any of that stuff. And number 10 for me, the enigma, the ultimate wild card, I think, in this draft class, Kayshon Boutte, 6 foot, 205 pounds, junior from LSU, a former five-star, the number two ranked wide receiver in his recruiting class. He was a higher-ranked wide receiver prospect than Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Look, Kayshon Boutte is a player that I will probably have very limited exposure to, especially in any, you know, rookie draft scenario where it's getting conducted prior to the NFL draft, because I think there will almost always be somebody in that draft that values Kayshon Boutte or is willing to pay a higher price for him than I am. We'll see how the rest of the process goes for him, but if we have questions about, you know, consistency with a guy like Quentin Johnston, how do you not have quite the same questions with Kayshon Boutte? I mean, it's never really come all together since his freshman year where he broke out 45 catches, 735 yards, and 5 touchdowns. 2021, you know, 6 games, 500 yards, does get 9 scores. This past year, 11 games, 48 catches, 500 yards, 2 touchdowns. He, you know, there's just kind of always weird stuff surrounding him. You know, the early in the season, seeming like he was, you know, he deleted all the LSU stuff off his social media. Then he was going back to school. He was coming out into the draft. I wish he hadn't declared this year, honestly. I wish we would have got one more season to see if he could put something a little more consistent and a little more concrete out there as a result in college. I have a hard time believing he's going to be a day two pick right now. And, you know, all it takes is one team, but I just don't know that we've seen enough consistency. He's got electric athleticism. He's got electric ability. We've seen it. But in a class that has kind of a variety of guys that can do similar things, there's guys that have done it with more consistency and maybe with a little less, I don't know if I necessarily want to say baggage, because maybe that's not fair, but I just think Kayshon Boutte is hanging on with that name for a little bit for a lot of people right now. There's players I would easily rather have ahead of him, and honestly, there's players right behind him that he's hanging on to number 10 with me kind of by name, honestly. Like, he's got all the upside in the world, but it's just a total gamble at this point. After him, you know, not to get into specific where guys are ranked, but there is just a logjam of players that are moving up, kind of shuffling around. But this class is deep. Jaden Reed has made himself some money. Tank Dell, shout out Pete Trana, has made himself some money. Puka Nacua, Andre Yisevis, like Jonathan Mingo, Xavier Hutchinson, a lot of those remaining kind of big body, quote unquote, X receivers are lumped super close together for me right now, depending on where they get drafted, where they end up. Could separate from the pack a little bit. But that's how I have my top 10 right now. So again, real quick to run through it. That was Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jordan Addison, Quentin Johnston, Jalen Hyatt, Josh Downs, Zay Flowers, Cedric Tillman, Marvin Mims, Parker Washington, and Kayshon Boutte. I appreciate everybody tuning into the podcast as always. And if you have any questions or any stuff that you want to hear on the podcast, make sure hit me up on Twitter. DMs are always open, whether it's an advice thing or a topic that you want to put out there or just to pop in and say hello. So I appreciate all the support as always. We will be back next week with another episode of the show talking about quarterbacks and tight ends. And we'll talk to you guys later.